podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. Today it's all about Sky Sports Fantasy Football and there is £50,000 up for grabs for the winner. Will one of us win it? Once again, Luke can. I'm not sure I can. My name is Joe and joining me ahead of the closure of the overhaul. I was going to say the impending overhaul. We're now in the overhaul, so we're now picking our overhaul sides. Also, we have a small matter of game week 23 and the captaincy to have a look at as well. Luke, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, Joe. We've made it. We've made it to the overhaul. Couldn't come fast enough for me, I'll be honest. Straight away, obviously, as soon as the Leeds game's finished, it tipped over on the site. So yeah. Started tinkering straight away. I don't know about you, but I had that thing of like, I don't know if I want to make any swaps in case it hasn't registered on the site. And I used my small bank of swaps straight away. So
I made a team with my B team just in case.
Yeah, I love that. See, I did exactly the same. There you go. You know, I bet many a Sky manager has done exactly the same. Yeah.
Definitely, but it's been quite fun, didn't it? I woke up to do that this morning. So I woke up after I thought it was going to be a bad game week. And then Dallas to the rescue as my captain on last night. So that was an example of where a single match day and investing in that can pay off. Also, Bamford, Rafinha was man of the match. So pretty much as long as you had a good Leeds player, you were doing well if they were your captain. Before we have a look at, we're not going to show our overhaul sides, but what we're going to show is two sides we've hastily come up with, which we're going to use to sort of frame the discussion and the players that we're thinking of. I'll put those pictures up in a sec. But firstly, I just want to look at some of the latest Tier 2 Man of the Match stars as well. These are the ones from the previous game week. Man of the Match is Kane back, annoyingly, for non-owners. Yeah. Back, brilliant, scored, brilliant, Man of the Match. Werner, one to perhaps consider. It was Man of the Match. Watkins, you know, a player you got in.
It's been unbelievable. Yeah,
I mean, you weeks ago regretted taking Grealish out and wondered what you were going to do with Villa, and I was sitting there with my Grealish thinking I'm just going to have him, but if I'd have had Watkins, I'd have done much better. So
I think he's outscored Grealish by about 20 points in that period.
I'm down 20 points by doing what is actually sensible in Sky, is not using transfers when you don't necessarily need to. And transferring out, you know, moving Grealish out was a transfer I didn't need to make. But if I had, 20 points up.
Exactly.
Passing Tier 2, Azpilicueta, Rudiger, so the Chelsea lads there. Romeo and Ward-Prowse for Southampton. Now, that could be quite key to our overhaul sides. Lots of Chelsea, basically. Evans as well at Leicester, but just underlying that if you can nail who's starting at Chelsea, they're in for some tears, and I mean that in terms of points rather than crying. Tackles Tier 2, target Alexander-Arnold ticking along nicely, could be an alternative to Salah. Willock and Holding. Now, I mentioned Willock as well because Willock's one of those players that's moved. There was a number of players like Jesse Lingard, for example, who've moved teams and could prosper. They're not going to be as tired. They're going to be keen to impress. You know, they've been sitting on the bench from their wherever teams they've come from. So just mention Willock there as a player to consider a differential. Sanchez at Brighton saves Tier 2. Sanchez is going to be important post-overhaul, I think, as we shall find out. Shots Tier 2, Son, who I did have and captain, so I'm not going to grumble there with Son captaincy. Madison, and once again, Watkins. So Watkins is getting the shots, he's getting the goals, getting you points, doing well. Out of all of those, I think some of those names are going to be mentioned. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a couple of pictures up, and they can put them on the same screen here rather than differentiate them. So these are some drafts we came up with. The one on the left is the one that Luke came up with, and the one on the right is the one that I've come up with. So I'm just going to, for the benefit of those listening on the podcast, both of these teams have Sanchez in goal for Brighton. Luke's team has Silva, Diaz, and Kabak, the new Liverpool defender. He also has Ward-Prowse, De Bruyne, Fernandes, Rafinha in a 3-4-3 with Kane, Calvert-Lewin, and Watkins. Why get rid of Watkins up front? At the back, I've got Sanchez, Vestergaard, and I thought, why am I not having Vestergaard? He was amazing. And I checked, and I think he only blanked in four fixtures that he played. He got points in virtually every fixture, either tiers, goals, or clean sheets. I'm sticking with a double City defence. Everyone's going to have Diaz, but are they going to all have double City defence? I put Cancelo in just for now. Gundogan, why not? He's doing what De Bruyne did last season. He's arriving late in the box and he's scoring. Jorginho, on penalties, seems to be pretty much the only attacker or midfielder nailed in Tuchel's side. Fernandes is, yeah, the same as your one. Rafinha. Yeah, I've gone for Rafinha as well because I don't think I can fit Bamford in. I've got Kane, Calvert-Lewin, as you have. I've got Salah instead of Watkins, but I'm not sure I want Salah. But yeah, I think what we'll do is we'll go goalkeepers first, then we'll just sort of go through the positions and see where we are with that. Both got Sanchez. Why have we got Sanchez?
Yeah. I just want to explain, so first of all, just a bit. So that team that I've put up there is it's not going to be the team I go with, almost certainly not. What I've tried to do here is build a team for... There's going to be plenty of people out there that aren't bothered about mini-leagues that, or they've already won their mini-league or whatever. They're sort of, you know, in and around the top 1,000, maybe. Maybe they've got not too many swaps left. So this team aims to cover nearly every captain day we're aware of and some predicted ones as well. But the main thing really is, if you want to sort of completely catch people up, it's gone for differential captains on most of the days. Oh. If you look at that team, a lot of the time, the captain on a specific day won't be the favourite. The only sort of exceptions I've got are Kane, Bruno and Diaz. I feel like those three are nailed in any team you make, even if you want it to be different, which is what this team...
They were the first three names on my one as well.
Yeah, so they're in there. But what I mean by this is Leeds have got some captain days, so you would have thought most people would be on Bamford for that. If not, they might be on Dallas instead. So we've got Rafinha. And this sort of pattern follows. So in some days, you might be on... most people, if they're on Villa, they're probably going to be on Grealish. Obviously, I've got Watkins there instead. When Man City play, not many people will have De Bruyne. Now, obviously, that's dependent on when he comes back. This just shows what's possible. You'd have a De Bruyne captain over the likes of the Diaz, which, you know, sometimes could work. Southampton, which have got a few individual days potentially. If people do go that way, then you would expect probably Vestergaard amongst the top players would be the top pick. And I think he's probably the best pick, but Ward-Prowse is an alternative. I think he's the third highest scoring midfielder in the game. He's just unnoticeably just gets up there. So that's kind of the aim of this team, is for those guys who think, right, what's my best chance of catching? And probably your best chance of just finishing strong is to go with the crowds and, you know, gradually work your way up. But if you want to be completely different, it's those captain days that are going to make the difference, right? So you're just going to have to get lucky. And when it's a Leeds captain, your Rafinha does well and the Bamford doesn't. Straight away, you're 20 points up on everyone else. If you hit enough of those, then fine. I mean, for example, Kabak's in this team. Don't even know whether he'll play. But on the days where Liverpool play, you're almost certain that people will captain Salah, right? Now, Kabak could be, we don't know, a guy who gets 9 or 10 points.
It could just be a random palindrome that's just been thrown in.
Yeah, exactly. And then suddenly you start, right. So that was the point of this team. So don't be sitting there thinking, I'm saying definitely get this. But it's something for people to consider, I think, who are in that position where they just feel like, how's my best chance of being different? And for me, it's targeting different captains on certain days, which obviously in my position, I'm not going to be doing. I'm going to be going with a favourite and stuff. Anyway, that was a long answer to the question about Sanchez. Yeah. Nothing to do
Why
with
Why have we got Sanchez?
So the reason we have Sanchez, Joe, is because he's 6 million, which is the cheapest starting goalkeeper. So I think that's a very big plus point because everyone's team seems kind of set now, right? But fantasy football moves so fast, doesn't it? And later down the line, we might want that De Bruyne. We might want Salah and Mane because Liverpool are suddenly unbelievable. We just don't know. Aguero might come back and be absolutely essential. You know, we just don't know whether these things will happen. Chelsea defence with Silva, Aspilicueta could be getting 10 points every single week. So cheapest goalkeeper is a good place to start because then you don't need to worry about swapping them out and you've got those funds to play with. Also, they've obviously got a lot of individual match days. They've already got some booked in. I mean, one is very early, which is confirmed, is the one home to Palace, I think,
Yes.
which
If Zaha's
on.
out, that's a clean sheet.
It looks like that looks like. I mean, I had Meslier last night, Monday, so at Leeds, everyone did fantastic. Meslier still ended up with 11 points, doubled to 22, made a
Brilliant.
three few saves. And I think that's the same thing that Sanchez could do. So you could hit 9 or 11 points there. Suddenly that's 22. There's at least another one or two potential days. And this is where I'm just going to give a nod to Plan It FPL on Twitter, Ian Parrin, who is very good at these sort of things, at predicting when the games will come. He's got a very good record of getting them correct. I would certainly check out his Twitter because, on there, he sort of made a predicted sheet in Brighton. I think at least had two or three other days where they were potential for a single day. So you don't really want a Brighton player, particularly. Sorry, Joe.
Well, I know. I
But
mean, I had Ben White for a while and he was okay until he wasn't.
he was okay. So I think it's either him or, well, obviously you could choose to ignore. That is an option. Ignore Sanchez or Dunk are basically the three ones I would consider. So that's a long one. So I think he's a good option. He's obviously making saves as well, and they're looking very tight. I mean, they are amongst the best defense stat-wise in the game. It just hasn't really come to fruition until the last few weeks.
Looking at defenders, now we've got some questions, a couple of questions here from the community. I'll just throw in any community questions that sort of fit the discussion. So, in terms of defenders, FPL Wilson asks, do we plan to cover all captaincy days, or are there games we can avoid and use places to stock up elsewhere, for example, Man City? And I'll put that in there because, of course, you could have a blanket Man City defence. Or you could not. You could use that for some captaincy decisions, like, for example, Sanchez, that we've spoken about. FPL Glasto asks, is three to four City players a good move? And if so, which one? So, similar theme there. So, we're thinking about, we've all gone into the overhaul with lots of City. We're now thinking of removing them all, but it's still Man City, and they're still good defenders. And they're
And they've
still,
got extra game.
and they've got extra games. So, that's why. So, in your back line there, this is the sorry the differential one. Diaz is nailed, same as me. Diaz, I've thought I'm gonna want to double up on the Man City defense. There is no there is no gain from Diaz, but there is gain from Diaz plus Cancelo plus Stones. Do you think that you're probably going to go into post overhaul with two City defenders?
I think that's pretty much a minimum. It'd probably be two or three. Edison or Sanchez is still a debate for me. May just miss the Brighton games, for example. I think when you've got lower transfers like I have, the general feeling is to try and go long term. And who do I want long term out of Edison and Sanchez? Probably Edison, despite it meaning you're 1.9 million less flexible. That is a concern. But because they're in the immediacy, they've got more games. They are tougher games. I wouldn't expect clean sheets in all of these games coming up, but you never know. So I feel like having two may even just be on par even, and three may be the way to go. The thing is, as everyone knows, the more you put in, the less captain options you then end up with for other teams. And I did say about this differential team being one route that you could go in terms of trying to climb the ranks with these different captains. The other route is actually just to fill your team entirely with Man City and ignore captains. And I had a look at doing that, and you can make a team, for example, with Sterling, Kane, Bamford, Rodri, Gundogan, Cancelo, Diaz, Stones, Edison. You can put all those guys in and still fit a really good team in, like, easily. So there is that option. I feel like if you just think, well, forget captain days, I
Just
won't
go
worry
Man
about the fifth,
City, yeah.
just go Man City and hope that they turn into the absolute force that they can be, which right now it's looking like that could be a thing as well. So in the end, I'll probably go for the balanced approach. However, these eggs in basket approaches either way are the way I think that you can make massive ground. For me, sitting in the sort of top 50, I'll probably end up with two, possibly three Man City defenders, I think.
I think too. I think just having Diaz is no good. I'm still hovering around the top 1,000. If I went in there with just Diaz, there's no point. There's simply no point because everyone, well, most people above me will have at least two, so I need two, and as you said, possibly three. What also puts me off Edison is just the price. And the fact that I do want to cover those single captaincy days when there is a viable option like Sanchez, who can get save points, so you can get the tier saves and also this clean sheet possibility, and of course saves themselves. So the other option there, so you've got Silva for Chelsea. We'll talk about my Chelsea option in midfield in a sec. And I've gone for Vestergaard there. So now you were saying you think Vestergaard could be the most captain, the most owned Southampton asset. I think he might be forgotten by a lot of people, though. I'm not sure.
When I say the most, I suppose it's just mean when you think about your close circles. Like I feel like Vestergaard is probably going to be in quite a lot of those guys' teams, for the reasons you mentioned. Is just fantastic. The thing is, for the maybe not even just the casual, maybe that if there's a middle ground, they probably won't be thinking of him because Southampton have just been getting spanked left, right, and centre of late,
They're
which
getting
is a
spanked
valid concern.
because he hasn't been playing.
There is that. He did play the last one. Obviously, it's his first game back. And they conceded versus Newcastle. That was a bit of a worry. But anyone who watched that game will see that Vestergaard was on the end of every cross again. Could have easily picked up a goal. And I think he's just feeling his way back in. As the Southampton team are, they've had a number of injuries, a bit lower morale, but they've got such a nice fixture run now where you feel like if they can turn it back on again, and really it's the passes that I want. At the end of the day, the goal threat is nice. If he gets that, fantastic. Clean sheets. Yeah, I'd expect a few because the fixtures are good, but not guaranteed the way they've been playing of late. And it's more just can they start hitting that passing tier? Because if they can at 6.4, it's a really nice price to get it for.
I think he's a good price anyway. You can escape. You can run from a Vestergaard easily. There's a whole bunch of options.
That's a very good point.
Most notably Dallas. Now, the problem I had towards the overhaul, towards the very end, I had five at the back. I definitely don't want five at the back. Very inflexible. I did have four at the back, but it was Dallas and Vestergaard or whoever around that
Rob
price.
Holding 6.4 as well.
Rob Holding, another good option there. I felt a little bit inflexible having two of those, and I think in terms of price points going into the overall, I think I only want one of them. So Vestergaard could become Dallas. It could become a whole
And
bunch of players in one move, basically.
Justin, I was going to say,
And
Justin has
Justin.
been fantastic. He's 6.3, so he's another one that should be in our thoughts because he will not go away.
Definitely. And also, if I need to go to two of those, so for example, I've got two City and I've got Vestergaard, and for some reason, one of my midfielders, one of my attackers can be moved down. I want to free up some money. I can move one of those down to a Justin or a Holding. Or Dallas, and there's an opportunity there. Silva for Chelsea. Now, what has put me off slightly is I do think he's nailed. I do think he's a great option. I do think he's going to mop up on the tiers and the bonuses. But it's just his age, and it's just his general fitness as we enter the end of the season. I just wonder if he's a transfer waiting to happen. So I've gone for. Well, we'll come to my choice in a minute. But do you think you'll end up with Silva? Do you think he is, the better Chelsea asset?
Well, I feel like because he's just got that injury at the worst possible time, he may not even be back for the first game. So I probably won't go for him. He was very strongly in my thoughts though until that injury. And ultimately, if you go to the defender page and you sort by points, you've got Diaz at top there, 148. I mean, anyone would have guessed that. He's basically the new Van Dijk, essentially. Although, obviously, Van Dijk in the past was also getting goals from corners as well, which was adding to it. It's about the only difference. Cancelo's the next one on 133. He doesn't even play all the games, so he's the second best defender in the game, but that's obviously because he's got attacking output. You then go down to Stones on 125 points. Again, Man City defense amazing. Stones has only started 13 games, and he's got 125 points. You go down, the next one is Silva on 121 points. Now, considering there's two defenders above him who don't play all the games, Stones in particular, just on 13, but he's still in the mold. So Diaz, Stones, Silva, they're all of the mold of a centre back for a top team who gets passing bonus in every single game. He has got some goal threat, Thiago Silva, as well. So, like you, I do actually feel like he will play every game. It's just whether he. And he's actually only got. Has he only got injured once, I think? I think he came in the whole season so far. So I think it's unfair to say, he's definitely going to get injured again. But when you're older, you've had your injury now. Maybe it might start repeating. There
Yeah,
is that concern.
it's towards the end of the season, I was thinking, because that's when you start, the injuries start to happen.
But I guess my point is, even if he was to miss the odd few, does it really matter? Because every time, I mean, he's still one of the highest scoring defenders. You can still captain him in a comfortable game and feel like you're going to get 5 points as a minimum. He's going to get passing tier two in virtually every game he plays. And you're going to get 10 in the ones where he keeps a clean sheet. And the way that Chelsea are playing at the moment, it makes me think that he's in line for a man of the match in most games, because he's a bit of a Rolls-Royce as well. You know, if they're just going to win 1 or 2 nil when he's calmly just sprayed the ball around at the back, I think there's an outside chance he could get the odd one.
He is great value. His points per million is 13.5, 13.15. So he's doing really well there. As you said, he's one of the top scoring defenders at the moment. Now, I don't know about the ownership figures. I don't know whether they update them or whether this is pre-overall.
I don't think they do.
He's currently in well under 10% of top 1K teams. So we'll see if that changes. Moving on to midfield. Now, both of us have gone for four here as the structure. Lee Williams asks, is Jorginho a better cover for those captaincy days over Antonio versus Sheffield? So he's got thinking of that particular captaincy day. And I would expand that to when Chelsea have for those types of days are better than Silva. In terms of value per million, he's just a bit below 10 million. So he's below Silva there, but he's on penalties and back in the fold, and nearly a million cheaper. That's why I've got him in there. But yeah, for me, I'm only thinking of Silva and Jorginho, but I do think that Mason Mount is a possibility. But it's just those starts. I think Jorginho and Silva are the one. What do you think? Jorginho could he be in your
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely in my thoughts. And the reason why a lot of people are looking to Chelsea is obviously that, A, the passing tier, which we know we love in Sky, and a lot of the players are getting. They've got some nice fixtures. Obviously, new fresh toy really with the new manager. It feels like they've been revamped slightly. But also straight off the bat, they've got this fantastic single match day. Well, not single because Antonio's playing. So let me just remind myself what it is. Yeah, Monday the 15th of February, we've got West Ham at home to Sheffield United, which looks good for Antonio, but he also went off slightly. And he's exactly the kind of player where if you get him, you're just going to be worried as to whether you need to get rid of
And
him.
Sheffield United's defence has got better, coincidentally, as
Yeah,
well.
okay. And then you've got Chelsea at home to Newcastle. Now, this is classic where in a Sky game, for me, straight away, Thiago Silva, Aspilicueta, Jorginho, they're getting passes in that game, 100%. Should win to nil, you would think, although Newcastle have been more offensive of late. So that's why I think people are thinking of them. And he continues for a little while. So, yeah, Jorginho at 8.4 million. I think it's the same price as Rodri, the same price as Thiago. Or they're all very, very close to each other. And they're all pretty much the same player in terms of they're all going to get passing. Tackling, usually Rodri and Thiago even seem to get that. Jorginho, not always. But to be honest, playing that role, he can get it quite easily. The thing with Jorginho's got over them is obviously the penalties, which normally when you give me the option of a midfielder on passing or a defender on passing, I prefer the defender because they're obviously likely to get 15 clean sheets throughout the season, which is the equivalent of 15 goals, and the midfielder's not going to get that. But in Jorginho's case, if he's on penalties, there's no reason why he can't add the odd one, which he's been doing of late. His last four scores are 5-5, 11-13. The 11-13 came with a penalty. So, I don't hate it at all, and it does cover an option. And midfield is the area where it's quite tricky to fill sometimes. So he does a job there, not taking up a spot. You know, if you have a Werner, you take away a Salah or a Kane. If you have a Thiago Silva, you take away a Man City defender potentially. So, yeah, I like it. My only concern with him is I know he's been nailed so far and he's been playing, but Tuchel has got a reputation and Jorginho has a reputation of looking like a good option and then
Then
suddenly
suddenly not.
disappearing, which has been over the years has happened. So it's just whether you think things are different now.
It's a price point as well. Now, I've also got Gundogan in my midfield as that price point. And I think there's a lot of options there. I mean, you mentioned Antonio. There's also Grealish. I don't have any Villa currently, and I think we're going to need some Villa. So I probably should be starting with some Villa somewhere. It's not a transfer I particularly want to make. Grealish is always in my thoughts. Watkins and possibly Martinez if I didn't have Sanchez. But yeah, Jorginho's Currently there, because at the back, I don't think I've got space for silver Aspilicueta. I've just gone for the value there, and I think this is a nice price point. Now, I've got both got Fernandez, both got Rafinha. Your reasoning is differential. Mine is because I think we're going to need Leeds, and I, as we'll come in a minute to our attack, I don't think I've got room for Bamford. He's a possibility, but I just don't think I've got room. And Rafinha and Dallas are probably my only other options, and I just think Rafinha's price is so good. He destroyed. I mean, has Gary Cahill's career been destroyed already? I don't know, but if it isn't destroyed, it was last night with I don't know, he was playing FIFA or something, and he just did these silky skills with the X button, and wow, yeah, it's quite something. So Rafinha's there, but the difference there. Gundogan, De Bruyne, and then Ward-Prowse. So, De Bruyne, are we going to need him? Do you think, are you going to leave money in the bank for him? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I feel, when is De Bruyne due back? Do we know this? I don't think it's been officially confirmed. I haven't heard any mutterings of late. Usually you hear like he's back in training or he's doing X, Y, Z.
I think we should be talking weeks. I mean, we could be talking days. We're talking short weeks.
Okay. It
could be soon. Could be in a couple of weeks. Could be a week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, more that team was just really to show that he could be fit in there. And obviously, you could have a placeholder in that point if you wanted to. And obviously, just leave the money in the bank. I in my main team, I mean, I'm struggling to spend the cash, but then when I try to fit De Bruyne in, I'm suddenly not struggling and I'd have to make two moves in the draft that I've currently got. So that is a concern, but we've discussed it before, haven't we? When the other Man City options are doing so well and the other big hitters like Kane, Diaz, and Bruno are doing so well, it's really a debate for me as to whether you have the likes of De Bruyne and Salah. He's also in that conversation, I feel.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I haven't got De Bruyne. And if he comes back and suddenly Man City go up another gear and he looks world-class and maybe he affects Gundogan. We don't, I mean, they were playing together and Gundogan was doing fine. So there's no particular reason to think that. But Pep changes things very quickly, doesn't he? One day he wants inverted wingers, then he wants them close to the forward, then he wants them right out wide, then he wants Gundogan like breaking into the box, then he wants him a DM.
Yeah.
So these things could change. So I think what I will probably do is have Gundogan, and then when Kevin De Bruyne comes back, if he's looking irresistible, I will try and shoehorn him in, probably for the likes of Salah, or maybe just upgrade Gundogan to him if that's needed, which it might not be. And the alternative is just to ignore him because he hasn't been great all season, has he?
So I've got $3 million in the bank. With my team, and I'm just trying to remind myself how much De Bruyne is. 11.5,
I think. Yeah,
so I'm 0.3 out. So if I was to do a straight Gundogan to De Bruyne, so if anyone's thinking of that, they want to get De Bruyne at some point, and Gundogan will be the guy to go, make sure you got 3.3 in the bank. I think I'm more thinking what you're thinking there. It's for me, it's a choice between Salah or KDB. I think Gundogan is still good value. And if he's looking off the ball, there's lots in that price bracket. But I'm just thinking Salah, if you sign a 3-4-3 and you want to move Salah to De Bruyne to a 3-5-2, I think you can do a 3-5-2.
Yeah. That's what we did for years in Sky when midfielders were just ridiculously overpowered.
So that's what I would probably do, because Salah, I'm not sure about. And then I would perhaps further down the line, if I wanted Liverpool, there are other options. There are other options there that could...
I think that probably makes more sense.
Yeah. I think so. For the balance of the team. So I'm not thinking... I'm thinking Gundogan and De Bruyne for a while. Or, there's another move down the line somewhere else. So I've got 19 transfers left. So that's my thinking. I think I can... But I don't think... I think, Salah to De Bruyne is just a one move. There we go. Ward-Prowse, you've got. I mean, I think you've spoken about that before. So it's basically Ward-Prowse v Vestergaard. Danny Ings isn't in our thoughts, but should he be?
I suppose he should be. It's that whole thing of he hasn't been scoring of late, and Southampton haven't been scoring, so suddenly he's not in our mind. But Yeah, it's probably silly thinking. The only thing that goes against him there, I still think he's a very good price. He's on penalties. He's obviously a fantastic finisher. And if Southampton have got this good run, I don't doubt for a second that Ings will be getting points in these next few weeks. Like, that feels like it's strongly going to happen. The problem is he's just competing against, you can only have three forwards. And when you've got Kane is pretty much you're nailed on, most people will end up having Salah. That is debatable. But then you've also got Bamford for the Leeds game coverage. You've got Calvert-Lewin, who's got extra games, and there is some Everton coverage potentially as well. And these guys, I mean, Calvert-Lewin and Bamford are both cheaper than Ings, so that means that Ings is suddenly out to rot. And also, you've got Watkins, who we've said he keeps getting shot tier two, which is the bonus of having him over Grealish. Is he's almost got that to fall back on, even if he doesn't score. Whereas Grealish, I mean, he's been getting the assists, but if you look through Grealish's history of late, apart from the game versus Burnley where he got 14 points, he's literally got 5 points every game, and that's been two for turning up and 3 points for an assist. Now, yeah, he's great, but can you get an assist every single week? It's going to be
No.
pretty hard. I mean, I don't know anyone who's ended up with 38 over the season. So.
Yeah, no, I think Watkins currently is proving himself a better Sky asset than Grealish. Not in real life, but definitely in Sky. Let's move on. Yeah, I was just gonna think of attack. So we both got Kane in. I think that's just get Kane in. That's it, the way it is. He is Spurs. Spurs is him. That's the way it is. They perform well. He scores when he plays. The whole team performs better. Both of us have Calvert-Lewin in, because I think both of us there have decided that he's the better option. Do you think? I mean, possibly. I guess possibly. I don't even think he is differential. He is the Everton option of choice. Luca Dean, Rodriguez, but Calvert-Lewin for me, all the way. And then you've got Watkins. You've spoken about Watkins' value there. I've got Salah. So Salah at the moment is the guy that could become anyone. He could become De Bruyne, could become someone in defence, could become Watkins, could become Bamford, Ings. Salah's just is the cash cow. And
He's
I won't.
very much a fear pick, I think. I think that's pretty much why I'll probably end up having him. Well, most people will probably end up having him. He's useful because he's the most expensive forward in the game. So, like you said, you can then switch him to anyone you haven't spent that money elsewhere. The thing is, there's not really, when I look through the fixtures, there's days you could captain him on for sure, but there's no standout as far as I could tell. Individual days where you think, well, I have to have Salah for that game. The first available one really that I could see was on Saturday the 20th of February, which is the second week after overhaul. You've got on that day Southampton home to Chelsea. So yeah, I mean, if we've got one of these bonus guys, you could captain one of them maybe. Burnley at home to West Brom. Now, I don't think anyone will have anyone from either of those teams, but if they've got Pope, obviously he could be a captain. Liverpool home to Everton, and that's the one where you think, well, Salah's a standout there. But to be honest,
Calvert-Lewin,
Calvert-Lewin, can you think, yeah, against their defence at the moment? Perfectly viable. And then you've got Fulham at home to Sheffield United, where I don't think anyone will have anyone. So that's the first time where I thought, it might be useful to have Salah there. But if I've got Calvert-Lewin, maybe not. And as you go through the days, that seems to be a recurring theme where, I mean, there's Sunday the 28th of February, Liverpool are away to Sheffield United at the 7:15 kickoff. I think, well, yeah, I'd like to have Salah captain there, but also on that day, Kane is at home to Burnley, so I feel like Kane will be captained
That's
on that
Kane.
day.
That's a Kane captaincy day for me.
Yeah, so really, the reason for picking him is because of his, it's his history, isn't it? It's because he's got 3 years of being one of, if not the best fantasy asset in the game, and you feel like you need to have him, but do you? I honestly don't
No.
know.
So looking at those, I'm also quite interested in sort of who we're doing without there. So I mean, one of the questions that we had was from Jack, who said, "Who do we sacrifice to bring in Kane?" And he says that said word sacrifice because Bamford, Watkins, Salah are such great options, or rather, but we've as we discussed, we're not sure whether Salah is. But out of those three, Bamford, Watkins, Kane, go your front line is the one there if you really want Watkins and Bamford. This is a tricky one. What's interesting is what who's not in there. And Leicester aren't featuring in any of it as there. Jamie Vardy has been annoying and has also been prolific. And he can score two
And it's and
goals.
there's a direct correlation as to whether he's in your team or not, as to whether that happens.
Yes. So, but as you mentioned there, Justin. Justin is a very, very good viable option for the captaincy if you want to captain a Leicester player on a day. For me, I'm looking at Leicester in terms of captaincy, so it's a question of if there are days when I definitely want a Leicester player. I might be thinking more of James Justin. I might be thinking of Maddison. Now Maddison, just hastily checking his price, is
8 point something. I've got him.
8 point something, 8.8. Which for me is in that same general area as Jorginho and Gundogan, so I have choices. I have choices there. So I'm just thinking in terms of price points. If people think they might want Leicester and don't want to go Vardy route, there is make sure you've got a sort of 8 to 9 million midfielder. I mean, you can afford that move to Maddison perhaps, and also Justin is great. So I've got Vestergaard in there. And obviously Rafinha can go down to Justin if needs be. That's what I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking I don't want to use my 19 transfers willy-nilly. I want to use them in the final 3 weeks when everyone's run out and I can just like hammer it. That's my dream. But
On that note, I feel like if you do want Leicester, Justin is the one to go to because going by Ian Parrin's predictions, I can't see at the moment any week where Leicester are going to have an individual day. There's chances on some of them. But it's very slim, so therefore you don't really need to worry about the quality of your captain. Even though Justin is a good captain pick, you would just go for the option and just leave him in, which stinks of James Justin, to be honest.
I think James Justin's in my thoughts, not at the moment, but yeah, he'd be the one I'd go with. I've got some couple of sort of miscellaneous questions before we move on to game 23's captaincy. Willie Hewitt asks, how many points do we need to still have a chance of winning? That's quite a hard
God.
in unquantifiable. We've roughly got like between a third and a half of the captaincy days still to go. So there's a lot of fixtures still to go. We
I can't
haven't,
remember what the percentage Ian Parrin quoted. It's something like 46% or something, or
we're not
41% of the
half.
captain days left.
I mean, we're just about halfway, aren't we, for Villa, because Villa have got lots of games in hand. City have games in hand. There's a lot of, I mean, for those who are used to playing FPL, double game weeks. It's less like that in Sky, but there will be extra days that need to be factored in. So there's plenty of opportunity for these sort of two matches, one match days coming in. So four to five captains
My
a
daughter's
week.
Tamagotchi, I apologise, it's done a poo.
That's fine.
Let me clean that. There we go,
Done
carry on.
a Vardy captaincy. Yeah. So I don't. I think there's plenty. There's absolutely plenty. I'm around the 1,000 mark, so I hope there are. But.
On that note, actually, Villa and I think Villa and Everton have got the most games left, 17. So if you're playing that volume of fixtures game, which is very useful in the Telegraph, in the Sun, stuff like that, then you want some Villa players or some Everton players. Hence why Calvert-Lewin and the likes of Grealish and Watkins are in our thoughts because they're long-term holds as well. Really, you're just getting extra games straight off the bat. Some teams have only got 15 left, so you're getting two extra games without even you've got a two for zero straight away.
I mean, Martinez is the goalkeeper I should be getting.
Yeah, I think we'll all be writing that phrase after about 3 weeks.
Sanchez is not the goalkeeper I should be getting. I will get Sanchez. I will not get Martinez, and I will regret that, as I did when I got Patricio in over Martinez. Yeah, it's just the sheer volume of games. He gets save points, you know, and they get clean sheet possibility. Yeah, Sanchez to Martinez, I feel will be a transfer I make at some point.
Yeah. There's also another interesting goalkeeper transfer I just want to draw your attention to slightly, which is very early on, which you could do, and that is to start with Pope. Now, Pope plays on the Saturday away to Palace. Palace may be without Zaha, as we've discussed. Even if he's there, you expect him to face some shots. So that looks like, to me, a good scorer for Pope there. He's obviously got a double game week. So, well, in FPL terms. So then he's home to Fulham on Wednesday the 17th, another time for him to get a decent haul there. Brighton play home to Villa on the same weekend. So yeah, they could get a clean sheet, but Villa are obviously pretty good offensively, aren't they? So you'd back Pope's two games over Sanchez's one there to outscore him easily. And then the next week, Burnley are at home to West Brom on the Saturday. on that day that I just said about, well, do I captain Salah or do I captain Calvert-Lewin? I'm not sure. You can actually captain Pope home to West Brom. I feel like that would be a pretty good one. So you've got three really good games there and potentially even a captain if you really want to push the boat out. And then Brighton don't play until that Monday the 22nd at home to Palace, where you could decide whether you want to bring Sanchez in. So you get a 3-1 for your goalkeeper straight off with a potential captain for Pope if you wanted to. And I feel like goalkeepers can score like 10 to 11 points per game. So that could be a 30-point or a 20-point difference.
It's definitely a differential captain, single game week position in my team. That's a really good idea. I'm going to look into that as well.
Well, I feel like if you've got a lot of transfers, these are the things that I won't be able to do, I feel like will work. And if you're sat there with 25, 26 swaps and you don't know what to do with them, you've got a 3-1 straight off the bat, and you can look at a few of those, and they're the things that as we move forward I'll have to ignore. I'll see them and just be like, oh, I wish I could do it, but I literally can't. And I mean, that just smells of working to me. At least 20 points difference, I would say, and then possibly it's worth it.
I think Salah, interesting, just looking at the makeup of the team, Salah is a really pivotal player here. Going with or without Salah is a very, very important move. If you go without him, you've got much more flexibility. You can also have, say, for example, a Liverpool defender in. You could get, Thiago.
Henderson. I had the Kabak, for example. He could suddenly get 10 on a game, because he's clean sheet and passing, and Salah gets 2 or 5 because it can happen.
It's a lot of money there, and meanwhile that frees up spaces elsewhere and you can move it around. So Salah is important, and the reason I say this is because I look at that team, that differential team with Watkins in there. Just Watkins in for Salah immediately not only frees up money, I don't have to worry about Villa at all, and then I could focus one of my 19 transfers on, for example, that Pope to Sanchez move, which I think is great, rather than have to worry about, do I need Martinez in and I haven't got any space for Watkins, and just do that straight from the off. I think that could be a good move. It's a risk, though. It's always a risk going with that big player, like a Kane, a Sanchez, a Fernandes, a De Bruyne. It's always a risk.
Definitely. And that's why I'll probably end up being safe. But at the same time, it's all about the points. And if you're that little bit further behind, these are the moves that I think are going to give you the chance of catching up. And that's it. They only give you the chance of it. It could easily backfire. Doing that move when you bring in Sanchez for the Monday 22nd home to Crystal Palace, and then straight away Brighton are away to West Brom in the next week. So it's a nice little chain of games here where you're playing West Brom a couple of times.
That's really good. Yeah, I'm definitely going to look at that. And final question from Simple Gull. He's got a B team still in the running. What high risk and high reward strategies can we employ with our B team? So we've sort of gone through some of them.
Yeah.
You've pretty much got one there. Differential captains. I guess another option is just to go absolutely mad on City.
Yeah, those are the two ones that stand out, like I've already said. Differential captains. Yeah. Look at every individual match day from here that you can see, and even the predicted ones, and think who's going to be the captain on that day, and then go for an alternative, maybe. Ignore captains altogether and just stick 8 or 9 City players in your team, which you can do.
Who is the best team? City, 8 or 9, and then use maybe 3 games. Maybe 4. Yeah. So 7 or 8 City. Yeah, I mean, that's something I am considering with my B team. I've neglected my B team. My B team's about 8,000. I've got 25 transfers. You mentioned something about going for some of the monthly prizes, perhaps. That's an option as well. Another good viable option.
What you could do in the overhaul now is look ahead to March or whatever month you pick, and literally pick your overhaul team perfectly set up for the start of that month, and then plan to use your five. You can only use 5 swaps a week, can't you? So 5 transfers a week, and then just plan it out now as to what 20 swaps you're going to use in that month, and you've got a very good chance, because no one's going to have. Or hardly anyone who, unless they're doing your exact tactic, are going to be in the running for manager of the month. So that's a useful thing to do, I think.
Before we go, we've got the immediate issue of game week 23 to navigate. So we're looking at captaincies on those days. So on Saturday, 13th of February, Leicester, Liverpool, Palace, Burnley, City, Tottenham, Brighton, Villa. I've gone for Gundogan for this one. And I think a City Diaz would be another option, but I'm not sure about a clean sheet. So that's why I'm reluctant to get Harry Kane. But would you be looking at a City asset that day or elsewhere?
I think so. If I've got Salah, he's a temptation. You'll see the lineups. You'll see he's playing against Leicester. It is Salah, so he's a temptation. But for me, I'll probably be on Diaz, to be honest. I just feel like he'll get. Spurs are going to sit off, and he'll get passing bonus. It's just whether they can break through with the counter, isn't it? Which, when Kane and Son are together, they often can find a way. So that'll be a concern. But I think 5 to 10 points for Diaz again.
Your Burnley move, I think, is good for this because I'm looking at that and I'm not like, oh, I definitely want to captain that player. So Pope is in the running.
Yeah, oh yeah, great. He could easily be.
He's a serious consideration that day. Sunday, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. Southampton against Wolves. Will there be any love there? West Brom, Manchester United, Fernandes Day.
Yeah.
Arsenal against Leeds, Everton, Fulham. There are options, obviously. Calvert-Lewin, Bamford, etc. It's just Fernandes Day. Fernandes is
Yeah.
away to West Brom. That's just. Can we
I
triple
feel like
captain
any
him?
day that Man United are playing, the answer is Bruno Fernandes virtually every single time. And obviously
Especially.
when past Brom, yeah.
I did a video for the captaincy with Neil for this coming game week, and we were talking about West Brom. And the thing about West Brom is that Allardyce is trying everything. He even left out his best player to try it out, Pereira, in the last match. It's a championship side in the Premier League, so it doesn't matter what he does or formations, the players and the club are just not good enough at this level. So they're facing Fernandes, that's the captaincy. West Brom, target West Brom, definitely. Monday, the 15th of February, West Ham against Sheffield United, Chelsea against Newcastle. That's the day we were thinking about. Jorginho for me, but Antonio, possibly Souček. He's not in any sides, but West Ham's fixtures are turning. So I'm sort of, this is sort of end of
Yeah.
West Ham time for me.
Well, that's the thing about Antonio. We love him on here, don't we? And he's that's a great day for him. But after that day, they've got a pretty horrific run. Now, for me, it feels like therefore you'd only want Antonio. You wouldn't want the others. You'd probably want Antonio because I don't think fixtures matter too much to him.
No.
He's gonna have chances. He's probably on penalties. But the games aren't the best. But we've seen what West Ham can do. I mean, the beginning of the season, they had the worst run I can ever remember for a side. Like the first 10 games were horrific and they managed to navigate them. So, yeah, mine will be Antonio if I go with him. And at the moment, I probably am. And if I don't, then it may be a Chelsea defender. And I'm not even set on that. So there is even a small chance for me that I just don't have a captain this day, which feels, it feels instinctively wrong to do that because. Obviously, you've got the games laid out for you, and I've got the opportunity to pick whoever I want. But again, when I've got not as many transfers as some people, I have to identify certain days, I think, where I feel like I might just give that one a rest because it's for the benefit of my team long term.
Wednesday the 17th, Burnley against Fulham, Everton against City. So once again, I guess for you, Diaz is in your thoughts. I think Calvert-Lewin can always score. He got a big haul against Manchester United. And so Gundogan tentatively for me. But once again, you said Nick Pope. There's twice now I'm thinking of captaining Nick Pope, who's got a 3-for-1 for Sanchez. Why?
Yeah. A 3 to 1 where he can potentially be the captain in all 3 days, Joe. Saturday the 20th, home to West Brom as well. I know.
If he keeps three clean sheets, and if the alternative captain maybe gets, a bit of passing tier, something like that, I could be looking at some, could be looking at a 50-point gain
Yeah.
here.
And let's be fair, when Pope gets a clean sheet, he doesn't just get a clean sheet.
No,
He
he
gets a
really.
saves, he'll get a saves tier
Oh,
as
if he
well.
goes
But
to town on it, it's like.
and he could be man of the match. I mean, he's done it numerous times. Yeah, I do like that a
When
lot.
Burnley play, he's not just the best player on the pitch, he's the only good player on the pitch. Well, certainly from a fantasy point of view.
Yeah. Fulham's the perfect game, I think, as well for him, actually, because Fulham Lookman in particular likes to shoot every time he sort of gets the ball, and it's usually from range. Which Burnley obviously do to every team. They make every team shoot from
So
range.
we did it
So,
for years.
yeah. So I'd be very surprised if there wasn't save tier in that game as a minimum. Sure, he could concede, but I feel
I can
there will
see
be a
no
save.
reason with my 19 transfers, which is about four, more than a lot of other people who are sort of hovering around the 15 transfer mark, who are higher up than me. I can see no reason for going for Pope and then to Sanchez. I think that's a gamble to take that I think I'm willing to do. You've wooed me.
Me.
Yeah. Just before we go, just a plug for the members area, a lot of the stats that we've looked at, and there's also the season ticker there. So it's always handy for things like looking for tackling, passing, and just see the players that in the frame for getting those tier bonus points. But in the meantime, Luke, thanks so much for joining me. Good luck with your overhaul, and good luck in game week 23 as well.
Same to you, Joe. See you on the next one.